When you want to destroy a, as we will talk a bit about later on, you destroy the nature of their romantic love, destroy their ability to love one another in a healthy sort of way, and we will see. When you see and you think about the problems we have as people and as individuals in loving each other romantically, you must recognize in good part that problem and those problems have been set up by a political social system. Because we shall see that love, the love that we have for one another, is the greatest threat to the people who rule over us. And it is necessary for those people who rule over us and who rule over African people the world over, if those people are to stay in power, they must destroy our ability to love each other in a healthy sort of way. This is why, even if you're concerned with your individual love for your boyfriend or your husband, you cannot separate that love from what is going on in the world, politically and socially, because the nature of that love is defined by political, social circumstances. And if you can't understand why you have problems in your love relations, perhaps a good part of it is because you have not taken time to understand the nature of the political, social situation in which you live, because you have been made to think that your love is merely the concern of you and your partner and not rooted in what is going on in the world.
Peace. How y'all doing? This is Zaza Ali. To point this brother out and make a point about him in particular, this is a mindset in our community that men make concessions for women who have children. You know, oh, you got children, you a single mother. I'm not a single mother, first of all. My son's father is involved in his life, so I'm not a single mother. This thing that we have where we, Black women who have children on their own, and there are single fathers out there too, Black women who are raising children on their own are somehow the whole, you know, death and destruction of the Black race, and she's the problem and she's the issue. And do you understand that when you judge a woman who is a single mother, you're also judging her children? I think that the underlying thing that we really need to look at as a people, particularly these idiots on social media who make these comments all the time about single mothers, you are disrespecting a whole generation of children that are coming up, and children who came up who are now grown-ups. My father was a single parent. He raised me by himself. You're judging a whole generation of our children. It's not just the mother. It's them. So how do Black children become a litmus test of how you decide how you want to pick your women? And I get it. You have a right to say, I prefer to have a woman who doesn't have children. That's all good. But do you really need to be on social media saying that? What is a 14-year-old child that reads a comment like that supposed to think about himself if he's being raised by a single mother who's probably struggling, who may be struggling? I mean, you know, this we have a very individualistic, small mindset. And we need to raise the level of our consciousness and start going back to the African concept of a village and of a collective way of living. It's very petty and small-minded for you to be on social media and just in general judging women because they have children. I mean, I think that's insane, but we don't value children. We look at children as burdens. This is part of the reason why the statistics of abortion are so high. And then somebody came on and said, well, you shouldn't blame the woman. It's the woman's fault. She laid with the man. It's her fault that the abortion statistics are so high. Okay, if it's her fault that she laid with the man and ended up having to have an abortion, then isn't it his fault, too, that he laid up with a woman that ended up in an abortion clinic? Shouldn't we be pointing to him as well? Or is it all on the woman? I don't understand that. I don't understand how we pigeonhole and marginalize women only, and we take all of the responsibility off of the men, whether they thugs, whether they dope addicts, whether they dope boys, whatever. How are they not being held responsible? How are the men who abandon them not being held responsible? But then we turn around and want our women and our children to respect our men. I don't understand that. The Kabbalion talks about one of the books that I highly recommend. I'm still working on my video, my videos. It's going to be videos now, because one of the problems I have is I'm an information junkie. And I want to try to give you, you know, the people as much as I can to arm them to be, you know, self-sufficient and to master themselves, like I'm striving to master myself. But in the Kybalion, it talks about gender, and it talks about mental gender. And it says, the strong men and women of the world invariably manifest the masculine principle of will. And I quoted this because, number one, we think, as I mentioned it before, that we think on a very small level, and we have to up the ante on what it means to be conscious and striving for consciousness and striving to perfect our will and to master our will. But number two, masculine and feminine energy and attributes are collective. Men have them and women have them. So women have masculine attributes that guided us through slavery, that guided us through the ships, that guided us when we got here and started getting raped, and when we had to work in the fields, and, you know, when the men were shipped off to war, and when the men were shipped off to prison. Like, God gave us an innate ability to tap into our masculine powers when we needed it. And we need it right now. So the point is, sisters need to stop with the neck snapping. You know what I'm saying? I don't need no man. I'm strong. You don't need to say, if you're strong, just be. Just be. And then we need to, brothers and sisters alike, need to stop with the, you know, we don't need strong black women. Like, I don't focus so much on the word, but it's the energy behind the word. Yes, we do need strong black women. I don't care if you want to give it another word, but we do. If we're going to fix the problems, if we're going to make it through what we've been through and what we're going through, we need our sisters to be strong. We need our brothers to be strong, too. Number two, and this one is big for me. Black women need a serious, serious mental, spiritual, emotional, and in parentheses, I put physical, because, you know, for some of this is an issue, for some of us it's not, overhaul. And let me say this about the physical thing. It's one thing to, you know, live in the gym to look good. And I know that we have a lot of sisters that just want to look good. It's another thing to study the anatomy and to study your body and the science of your body in order to master yourself physically and in order to be in optimal health and optimal shape. You know, to be striving for, to live to 100, 150 versus just trying to look good in high heels when you go to the club.
There's nothing wrong with the things that you as a sister add to the outside of yourself to beautify yourself. But hell, if you're going to do all that for your handbag, you're going to do all that for your feet, you're going to do all that to make your hair pretty, you're going to do all that to make your jacket fit a certain way and look a certain way, if you're going to do all that for your body, what are you willing to do for your mind? The earth is only 1,037 miles per hour. The brain is the thought is 24 billion miles per second. Your mind is that much more important and powerful than your body. So before you take good care of your body and your exterior image, look out for your thinking, black woman. For as you think, so is our next.
Boyce Watkins, shout out to the homie Boyce Watkins, put up a post on his Facebook page, and a friend of mine sent it to me. And I read it, and I didn't really think anything of it. And he was like, they tearing Boyce up on Facebook. So I'm reading this, and I'm going to read it. He says, dear black women who pay for hair care on a regular basis, here's my humble request. In parentheses, it's okay to disagree. We brothers have issues we need to solve as well. Number one, calculate the budget you spend on hair weaves, the beauty salon, and all things that you love to do to look good. Number two, see if you can give at least half of that money to black businesses. It's your hair, so you should be the ones controlling the industry. Number three, reduce your hair and beauty budget by about 10%. You can still look gorgeous, but you'll have a little extra money to play with. Number four. Number three, reduce that your hair and beauty market by a simple app like Acorns. And then he says, if just 30% of all black women were to do this for the next 20 years, the average wealth level of the black female in America will likely be higher than any other group in this country. This is not to say that you can't enjoy your money. It's to say that there are areas where both men and women could probably get ahead if we were to manage our budgets a little more carefully. But again, feel free to disagree if this does not apply to you. Now, when I first read that, I was like, he's right. Because to me, I don't really see what the, you know, what the big issue is. Then I started reading the comments. Oh, my God. And I was reminded why I'm not on social media. I'm going to read one comment and to the point about black women needing a serious checkup. One of the comments, stop policing black women's hair and police this damn effed up, these damn effed up neighborhoods infected with crime, drug problems, the rise of domestic violence of black women by black men. Forbes just did a piece on black women being one of the highest groups of people in owning businesses and education, but we worried about some effing fake hair. Half y'all fake ASSs aren't for black women, only if we centered on doing right by you Kangs. And fake ASS sisterhood still wrapped around caping for these Dr. Umar rejects. F out of here. Okay. First of all, I talk about this same subject in my book. And they did a study in 2011 or 2012 where they said the median income for the average black woman in America was $5. $5, meaning after she pays her rent, after she pays her car payment, after she pays her bills, after she buys food, she literally has $5 left to survive. And don't tell me that this is not a common occurrence, because I know a lot of women across the country and a lot of sisters are struggling right now. I'm not saying that all women are struggling. I'm not saying that there's not successful black women business owners. I'm in Atlanta. There's plenty of them out here. But what Dr. Boyce is talking about and what we should be talking about as women is what we spend our money on and our lack of emphasis on investing in building something substantial and long-term. Businesses fail every day. So owning a business, I'm a business owner. I actually have a couple of businesses. It's one thing to own a business. It's another thing to actually run it to the point where it's going to pass on a legacy of wealth, which is what Boyce is talking about, wealth building. He said, reduce your hair and beauty budget by about 10%. 10%? Why do black women, this is one thing that I agreed with Scheherazade Ali about. When she talked about how black women, because we've been so structural to the, we've been so integral to the structure of our communities, we've been the backbone, we've been there consistently, that because we have, there's never really been, and I'm using this word, a full appraisal on us as women. And it doesn't have to be done in the community. It can be done with us as women. We can come and close the door. But we need to stop playing and start having real dialogues and conversations. If the hair care industry is a $500 billion to a $1 billion industry per year, depending on which statistic you actually take into account, if we took 10% of that money, we could build schools in every city across this country. Why can't we think like that? What is wrong with that? And if you don't want voice to say it, then you say it.
And black women say they don't believe in polygamy.
If we don't want men telling us.
A lot of black women, especially with a Christian background, don't believe in polygamy. I say, well, the Lord, our Savior, well, most Christians believe Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, and you believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, a brother should be able to have at least three wives. Now, that's a joke, but what I'm serious about is, tell me this. If you don't believe in polygamy, how is it that you let your man cheat on you, and then you allow him to come back and cheat on you again, and you allow him to come back? Let me correct you, my sister. That's polygamy. Anytime you allow a man to entertain more than one woman, he's with you and another woman, then you have consciously or subconsciously agreed to polygamy. So why won't you make it serious? Why won't you let the brother marry you and the other woman? Why won't you let the brother
and the other woman and her children come into the house. You all live together. You all save together. You all have a community together. Now, what's the difference between you letting him go see his other two kids on the weekend, sleeping with the other baby mama, and then he come and lay down with you, sleeping with you too? That's polygamy. That's not monogamy. So a lot of women have agreed to polygamy, but subconsciously or consciously, I don't know which one it is at this point, they have literally fooled themselves into thinking that they don't believe in polygamy. Guess what? You believe in polygamy. Have the brother marry you and all the other women that he has an interest in and he wants to be with. But here's the thing about polygamous relationships in other cultures. He has to be able to afford all women. He has to be able to provide for each woman equally. Now, if he can't take care of you or the kids, he don't need not one woman. I'm Madam President with the Z.
We shouldn't do that. You're using them, blah, blah, blah. And I really don't know his intentions. I don't, because I don't know him. But for the most part, as I can see, you know, he's taking care of his family, and he's not being neglectful to them. It doesn't look like that to me. But for the most part, it's like he's not over here calling them his baby mamas, his girlfriends, his side chicks. He's calling all of them his wives, okay? And people at least should respect that. But getting back to the polygamy thing, I really don't see a problem with it. I don't. And honestly, I'm not going to say that I would just be in a polygamy relationship right off the bat, because I need to work on, you know, just being in a relationship with that one dude in the first place. But here's a problem that I don't see, you know. This is why I feel like polygamy can actually benefit, especially the black community, okay? There's a lot of black men locked up in jail. And, you know, if I ever get the opportunity, I'm going to free them all. Like, Lord knows I would free not all of them, because some of them are actually killers and they need to stay their ass in jail. But for those who have not done anything, for those who have made mistakes when they were young and they're paying for it now, you know, when they could have easily just could have went through some youth program and got their life together and they wouldn't even be in jail right now. Those are the men that I would free. But for the most part, you know, you got a lot of black men that's in jail, okay? You got a lot of black women out here who are left out here with really not a lot of options. And when you have that one good black man, you know, I'm not saying that there's only a few black men, but I'm just saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with helping sisters out who for some reason can't find a good man, and they're worthy of having a good man, you know? And instead of just, you know, one woman being selfish and wanting that good man all to herself, which is, I feel like it's selfish to me, she could do the whole polygamy thing and share him, okay? I don't see nothing wrong with that. If you have a regular wife, you know, you're just one wife, and you got a bunch of children, and you got one husband, all the workload is on that one woman, you know, and then she's going to wind up having to ask her husband for help. I'm not saying that a man cannot help his wife or that makes him less than a man, but I'm just like, if I'm going to be a wife and my husband, he's doing everything, okay? He's doing everything, bringing home the bacon. The least I can do is have dinner ready, the clothes washed, house clean, everything just splendid. But at the same time, that can be a lot for one woman. And even though, you know, you can do it, it's not a big deal, but it will be, I would imagine that it will be easier when you have two women, or you three women, or four, I don't know. You have four women, and one is doing the kids, you know, one is taking care of the kids, one is doing the laundry, one is cooking the dinner, one is cleaning the house. You know, it's effort. It's a team effort, okay? Now, the thing about polygamy that a lot of people are like, okay, what about intimacy, like, whatever, and all this other stuff, look, I'm just saying it will come in handy. And when one of the women's periods on, I'm not saying that you you can't have sex on your period, but I don't know if I would necessarily do that. So if one of our period is on, he can just go with her for the night, and then you'll just, you know, you don't have to worry about your man not being pleased, your husband not being pleased. He can get pleased by his other wife, and you don't have to worry. You can just sit there. You can just blah 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 blah. But one thing I do not appreciate about polygamy is for those men out there who are in polygamy relationships, but their wives are still working. And I'm just like, no, 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 no. If I'm going to be in a polygamy relationship with you, you need to be bringing in the right financial resources, everything, you know, not just more than money. I'm going to need those resources because at least I got to give brother polite that, okay? As far as I can see, I don't think any of his wives are obligated to work. Now, they may have their businesses on the side, but I don't think that they're obligated to work. And that's what a true man does. Now, if you can do that, okay, then yeah. If you can't afford to have one wife, don't get no more wives. But if you can afford to have wives, then, I mean, and take care of them and take care of the family and build a community, then that is beautiful. But if you're trying, if you're a man and you're trying to be in a polygamy relationship and you're trying to make your wives get jobs and, oh, we have three incomes, no, you're supposed to be doing that. If we're supposed to be here satisfying you, taking care of you, because I know some men, all men, they don't just get in it for nation building and all of that wonderful good stuff that we like to think it's for. No, sometimes they get in it for the fantasy of being with two different women and not having to lie about it, okay? So, yeah, but if you're going to be doing that, because I did see a video with these two other polygamy wives, and they did not look happy, okay? One of them was like, oh, yeah, I got to go and work in the morning. I was like, work in the morning? First of all, you shouldn't be working, sweetie, okay? Y'all got all these children, and he wants you to go to work, too? I don't care if there's one other wife, and, you know, when you go to work, she watches the kids, but and when she go to work, you watch the kids. No, both of y'all should be home, and your husband should be the one that's outside working and doing all that. Like, because if he want two wives, okay, then work for it, okay? Make sure we living comfortably. And I don't mean just work and we not working and we still struggling. No, I mean a comfortable life where we have a comfortable home, we have the cars that we need, we have the food, we have enough money to get all the healthy organic foods that we can get, and we can travel around the world. That's what a man should be able to do, especially if you want two wives or more than that. Like, no, but for the most part, I don't know. I would just have to try being, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I would be in a polygamy relationship, but I'm just saying for the most part, I don't see anything wrong with it. And then I'm not really a jealous person. I used to think I was a jealous person, but naturally, I'm really not a jealous person. And, you know, I don't try to compete with other women. Because, you know, there's no need to do that because, you know, once you're secure, you don't have to do any of that. So I wouldn't get jealous. I wouldn't feel like, oh, my man's not paying any attention to me. I would just be like, you know, this is both of our husband, and we're just going to have fun with it, you know. For the most part, let me know how y'all feel about polygamy, and would y'all be in a polygamy relationship, or are you in a polygamy relationship, and like and comment and all the other good stuff. So, see ya.
our divine and supreme absolute power to the 10th degree. This is the evolutionary, the true evolutionary radio, where all time evolves and we're evolving another timely and mindly topic. Let's see. Okay. This topic was named by a individual. So we do that here. You know, I don't always make the topic. Sometimes I will take requests and just allow whoever would like to name the topic or basically dictate the flow and the direction of the class. I don't mind that. Anyways, here, I'm missing myself. On air, not off air. This week is going to be a very, indeed, powerful week. I'll be giving a lot of testimonials. And I ain't talking about no Christian church testimonials or drug abuse. I'm talking about the supreme being that I know that I know that I know. That not only I am, although what's in here? What's inside of this vessel? I've been shown a lot of things. And it's frightening at the same time. Necessary. So, especially those of you all who are my enemies, I mostly have more enemies than friends. Even my enemies, you better really listen to that, since you all can't so-called wait for the demise of this, so your wicked selves can be under the utopia of your own empowerment. Don't happen here. I'm born and created to eat you all for lunch, spit you out like water, effortlessly. It's like the great teacher said about the seven cats, the little mouse, where he's not even a full meal. Not even a meal from it. But I respect your purpose. Although you might want to listen at that. Other than that, what's taking place, or what's scheduled to take place this week, we should have a great topic again tonight, as always, here. Wow. I'm going to have to release the supreme powers because it's been very anxious. And it wants to share quite a few things with all of us. So without further ado, I would like to bring about and introduce the supreme energy and frequency from within me, the all-powerful light, master of all creation, the most powerful, the all-seeing, all-knowing one, the most righteous one, the heavenly Father in our midst today, the supreme being walking the earth, master of any master, God of all gods, creator of all creators, and my most powerful name, creator of all creators, the Almighty El Sadra. In all of my powerful names and attributes and greetings, do I give all again an open greeting of timeless motion, righteous power. All right, letting everything resonate the transition. I want to first speak about time. And where time really started to exist. Before we even knew what time was. You know, we just was. I'll say that again. The reason why we're the Alpha and the Omega is because before time existed, we just was. When things and events started to take place and we wanted to measure them, then time was invented. Although time hasn't always been. Time didn't come before creation. Time came long after creation. So let you know that for the record. So the time that we're in today, which is in season, we also, as you all say, the end of time. And the reason why we're at the end of time is we're going, or we're returning to that place where it's no longer a need to measure things. In order to go back. So we're at the end of time at this point, which is a new beginning, a new reality. And with that comes a new mind, a different mind. This mind, you won't need to think so much. That's been your problem over time, is that you've been thinking too much. Thinking about the wrong things, thinking about mischievous things, self-destructive things. You won't need to do too much of that. Although, sticking with the topic at hand here, which is on the idea of polygamy before time and before truth. Before time, I would just say the nature of beings. Since the original man first was here originally, or before we then made the woman, contrary to all of these myths that are out here by these very wicked people that they've been traveling our worlds for quite some time. You might know them as Tafruities and Dr. Blair and all these people that have always been enemies of the truth, enemies of God, enemies of what's right. And they come in as agents and deacons of light. you know, kind of like you all call Satan, you know, the angel of light, a fallen angel, you know, or the Illuminati, the illuminated ones, the light bearers, and all these things. That's what these people are. They're people only, they're only giving you just enough light. They only have just enough truth to be an endangerment. You know, you can't, people, before they invented lights, people that had little torch lights, and they didn't get a chance to travel very far in swamps. And they caught hell. They show you with the little candle they had or whatnot. That wasn't nothing. That was just enough light for them to run into things, to get caught up in swamps and beehives and other animals in the wood. That wasn't a good deal there. So they took dogs and different things to help guide them along the way and whatnot. These people aren't giving you anything to be based on. So before the woman was made, which is one, that's why it's a man. It's a man with the womb man. Before we had evolved ourselves in the forms of women, meaning males that took on that nature, you know, what you call homosexuals today, you know, males that were feminine or not, what can I say, not right-minded. In other words, they didn't function more as the masculine side. They focus on the left or the feminine side. So still a lot of them who were born who are left-handed and whatnot, their left brain, they favor that side of them. We have two sides. You have right brain, left brain, and you have a feminine and masculine side. Two beings. So before that, it was just nature. Although nature is always constantly evolving, we're always finding out new things in nature. Still, people are finding out why does it rain so hard sometimes, and you know, where are all these different insects and the origin of them, and new insects and different creatures they're finding, and where do they come from? What origin are they? Now they find out, you know. These scientists are always into different stuff. Last I heard, they were discovering that people that sleep more, they live longer. People who are less sexually active, you know, they have a less longevity also in life as people who do have a healthy sex life and whatnot. So all of those different researches that they're finding out, it's all in accord with what's already here. So the reason why nature can constantly be found renewed and on a creative mind, so to say, In other words, you could always find out new creative ideas in nature, is because nature is creation. And so since creation is endless, then that means nature, you're not going to find the end of nature. So studies of this, we started to find out new things about ourselves. Then we started finding out new things still about woman. There's a lot of things. And woman today, as the person that spoke earlier in the first clip, woman today is being changed. You all don't know that. She's being changed. You all didn't think you all can have a Harriet Tubman and your woman could lead you like that and do things you didn't suspect her to do other than what stereotype of staying home and cooking and cleaning and, you know, which she's great at that too. Although the queen on the chessboard can do things that the king can't. Yet the king is still a king, although he can't do what the queen could do. And your queen could travel anywhere on that board, anywhere. King can't. It can go forward, backwards. It can go one step anywhere, although it can't travel anywhere. So although that piece is important, although it's not that compared to all the other pieces, you know, it's not even greater than the castle as far as moves. It's important. It's more important than a castle, although checkmate with just one castle and another king or a pawn. I'll take the pawn back. I'll just say the king. You might mess around and get a stalemate with that one. So that's the main idea there. Back on this idea here. Got Brother Ali in the house. Righteous Power, brother, how's it going?
Righteousness and Power, Ock.
Yes, sir, how's it going?
Wonderful. Wonderful, brother. Living the dream. Yourself?
You said living the dream?
Yeah, I'm living the dream, brother. I'm living it. I ain't just laying down dreaming it now. I see it in my mind and I live it.
That's it. You know, that's what it is. I mean, and what requires that to be lived is knowledge. You know, if you don't have the knowledge, these people that so-called are living a dream, or they have the knowledge of whatever is needed for them to live that. You know, if it's material things and they have the knowledge of, you know, business, the know-how of what they should be invested in, they should be basically building on. And then they just live it. So, most definitely.
Absolutely, brother. And then I'm asking, and I see you're doing just as well on the other end, still strong, still teaching, as it should be.
Absolute. You know, get a couple of bumps here and there, although the bumps are still growing pains. Even as you were a child, you know, you fall and stumble, and you're learning how to get up. That process continues as an adult. It's just that you ain't physically falling. You may spiritually and mentally have some stumbling blocks, and you're getting up on that level, on the spiritual, mental level, as opposed to the physical level. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That only, strengthens you and shows you how to walk the path a lot better. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's in the course.
You know, it's the same. You know, what you said is interesting because of, you know, if you study track and field, you know, well, you have an event called hurdles, you know, where you have to run and jump over hurdles. But when you train for that event, they don't just send you out there immediately and make you run and jump over the highest hurdle. They have smaller hurdles that you jump over and get used to, and then they gradually build them up. Now, they know during the gradual process of building them up higher as you're running and training, you're going to knock some over, you're going to fall over a couple, but that's the idea. The idea is for you to do that so that you can master it and get over it and move to the next higher hurdle. And then before you know it, you're a master of the high hurdles now. You're a master of that event. You can leap over them all without falling or touching any of them, but it took a process of you stumbling and falling over them to get to that point. So like what you just said, brother, it's about being humble, you know, humbling yourself and understanding the process, you know, or understanding the process. Right?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. And the passing of the hurdle or the lesson learned of the hurdles and whatnot is the knowledge that you acquire from that hurdle, from that jump. So when that next jump comes, then, like you said, you've been prepared, you've been conditioned. And now you're prepared for the next hurdle based on the experiments or the experiment. Then you're ready for that next hurdle and so forth and so on based on the knowledge and experience. So that's also the idea. What's going to say on this idea here, though?
Is this polygamy?
Yes.
That's pure science there.
That's your origin of polygamy before we became acknowledged about the truth. Interesting. Okay. Well, as I was saying before, you know, the natural origin, it's all in nature, like the I remember Brother Ali made it so eloquently. And, he shared about the plants. Remember you said, Brother, the plants, you know, there's a female, the female plants, they only need one male pollen to impregnate, you know, several female plants, you know.
Right.
And the seeds and different things from that plant. So nature also teaches us the nature of really where nature comes from the God. All nature is only a reflection of our inner being. So we have multiple seeds to bear, or for a woman to bear, more than one woman to bear our seeds, and only one woman can bear only one man's seed, you see. So she's made, that's why when that woman, she wants that one man, she wants to bear that one man. She's not a polygamist that way.
No,
you see. She's looking for that. She's looking at, like the planets around the sun. They all rotate around the sun, multiple planets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they gravitate. They gravitate to the sun, to the light, to that man that's in the center. So that's the same with the wives, where they all are gravitating and rotating under his spear. So that's when you get a ring. A ring symbolizes the spear of that man. Because of the ring symbolizes.
Can I say something about this natural origin?
Yes.
To my discovery, it's just a theory, but I feel like the natural origin of polygamy, it has something to do with the fallopian tubes in the vagina and the uterus. Because there's one uterus, there's one vagina, but there's two fallopian tubes, and you never know which ovary is going to produce that seed in order to go inside the fallopian tube, drop into the uterus to be caught from the sperm. So it just amazes me that we have two fallopian tubes, which produces the eggs. Without the eggs, there is no fertility. And without the sperm, there is no fertility. It takes one sperm, even though there are thousands released, only one can fit through. But you never know which fallopian tube, which side, the left or the right, is going to produce the seed. But you have to have both in order to be productive. If a woman loses one fallopian tube, she's bound to not have kids versus a woman that has two. So, in my definition, I think each fallopian tube has to do with the woman, and there has to be two in order to produce life into one sperm. But we never know which egg is going to produce at that time that meets. So we always have to have two, because you never know which one might kick in when the other one doesn't kick in. And that is what I feel like the natural origin of polygamy is. You have to have another woman there to kick in when you are not kicking in, because it's natural. If that's the case, both fallopian tubes would produce two eggs at the same time, and that's not possible. Unless you have twins, it's still the same fallopian tube that come out. So you still need two fallopian tubes to be productive in order to reach the egg, which only one sperm is going to get. And the one sperm is that. Still, no matter how much you like science, it's always going to have two fallopian tubes and one sperm that enters the egg, regardless if it's two eggs or one. One sperm enters the uterus and produces the egg, but it still has to be two fallopian tubes to be healthy.
That's brilliant. I see exactly what she's saying. That's brilliant. That is fucking brilliant. As the fallopian tubes are a symbol, you know, a symbol of physical representation for us, or a sign, or what we call science. It's a sign for us of polygamy. You know, like she said, it represents the need of the second female. That's brilliant, man. That's fucking brilliant.
Acted. I don't think no one ever thought about that. It's just a theory.
No, I haven't. I've never even considered that. And my mind wanders constantly, and I've never considered that. That is brilliant.
Well, that's definitely in accord with the origin, you know, as far as learning the origin about ourselves. You know, what she basically did, she delved into the science of the origin of our biology, which tells the tale, like I shared, everything on the external, it is only a reflection of the internal. You know, kind of like in The Matrix where he said, you know, a little boy was bending the spoon with his mind. He said, it's only for you to realize that it's not the spoon is bending, it's you. The spoon is only reflecting you.
And one more thing to add to this. A healthy woman has two and can produce from either. But think about the women that only have one fallopian tube and no fallopian tube. They can't produce any seed. And the woman that has one, she can have one, but it's going to be so many complications. And that goes to the woman that doesn't have sister wives who are jealous and who cannot get along. They're going to struggle way more because they only have one fallopian tube. They don't have the other one to depend on. So if that one goes bad, it just goes bad, and it's over. So we really need to think about that. What can we do as women by ourselves versus two women together to help each other out with all the chores and the kids and the mind and the finances and the man? Think about it. We're struggling so hard by ourselves. But what if we got over those inner feelings and really looked down into what the Most High has been showing us inside of us? It's way deeper than what we think. If your body can't survive without two, what makes us think that we can survive without two? one struggles by itself, and if it goes out, it goes out. If a mother, a single mother, dies today and she has no support, no husband, no sister, wife, no nothing, her kids automatically go to foster care or go to some family members who don't love them or just go in the street. Think about that. All the single women who could have joined, you know, or who could have just asked for help and joined a family. How many people could be saved? And how many people just drop off the face of the earth and become destroyed because they only have one fallopian tube? And then they destroy that one instead of asking for another one or keeping the other one healthy enough to produce with them.
That's in the court.
That's science there. That's math and science. You know, it adds up. And the sign is always there. There's nothing that exists without a sign. You say the sign before the storm, you know. Before, you know, the scientists who look for signs first, you know, when they're in the labs and whatnot, and they're experimenting, since experience is the best teacher, they are experimenting or getting experience. So they're looking at these different animals and creatures and the DNA and different. So that way they know it works. They don't come in with a religious belief or theory. That's why most of them is atheists, because they don't mess with no religion. They're into about what really is, what works, not about based on what someone said or their belief. Or things that aren't based on anything.
Mm.
So all these religious people, yes, they believe in Jesus and they're spiritual, this and that. But the scientists, when that meteorologist or that scientist say, there's a storm coming today, they don't ask Jesus, they don't ask Jehovah. They don't call up, hey, Jesus, what's the weather going to be like today? But you're a Christian. You know, you don't believe in what they call it, foretelling. You know, only God can foretell, you say. But the scientist knows he's God. He knows man is God. He studied it. He knows that all this has an explanation. All creation or everything has a sign or a signature. Except for you. You stuck on that religious crap.
Yeah. But I put both together.
And the first thing is that, oh, the weatherman said it's gonna rain today. Well, it's supposed to be a good day. Why don't you ask Jesus? Or Allah. Or Master Fraud Muhammad. Why don't you ask any of them? Or Yah. The fellas came here talking about Yah. Yah this, Yah, 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 Yah. And he came tell us if Yah, if he was freezing outside, would Yah come and save him? Or he gonna have to go to that white boy for heat. You know what I'm saying? Since niggas don't want to produce it for ourselves. You know what I'm saying? He can't explain that.
Brothers. It's gotten so bad that they've even forgotten that we don't even know what time we're in, because the time was shifted through the Catholic Church under St. Gregory. That's what we have, the Gregorian calendar and the Gregorian clock. The clock and the calendar are productions of the Catholic Church, man, when they reset time, you know, to make their time relevant and erase time before that. You know, and it's documented that they did this. You know, so we don't even know what time of time we're even operating on. And once they've mastered the control of time, they mastered the control of information. Mm-hmm. These are wickedly wise demons we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The book I read is Man is a Woman's God, so we learn from a man, and then the man teaches about who God is. So my belief in God be totally different from the man? Because my belief is supposed to be the man teaches about us about God. The man is our God. That's what the book says. And then the man acts as God, and his God is his inner God. And we learn from him, and then the children. So, me.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go on to our first clip since we've been on there and come back in the lab on some of this.
Hey, guys, and welcome back to my channel. So my channel is different in that I don't have a group of people around me to have these discussions. So I'm really having to rely on you guys, and I really yearn to know how you guys think about all of the topics that, you know, I discuss. And I want to have an interaction with you guys so I can post reaction videos to something that you may say, experiences that you have had. So, like, please, just talk to me. But, yeah, today I want to talk about polygamous relationships. And for some reason, when I hear that word, I just have this feeling like it makes me feel some type of way, but I don't know necessarily why. I'm the type of person that loves the chase when it comes to initially starting a relationship or seeking out somebody to court. Like, I love that aspect of it. It's just the most exciting period, and so I revel in that. I like excitement. I don't know. I need to be stimulated constantly, which is kind of an issue, but that's another video. Anyway, so I like the excitement of it. I like the chase. I don't like feeling like I'm being suffocated in a relationship, and I don't appreciate when someone is overly possessive. Like, I appreciate that you appreciate you are with me, but I don't need you to hover over me and micromanage every move that I make type of thing in a relationship. So you'd say, in a sense, that I'm more of like, that I'm not the type to be pinned down. Like, I'm very free. I'm very big on independence, you know, being able to do as I please. You would think that with my personality and that aspect of relationships, right, that I would be all for polygamous relationships. But what I don't like about polygamous relationships is the way that it is portrayed in our society. I feel like that's why I feel a type of way, because when you think about the term polygamy, you think of the show Sister Wives, right?
All right. I heard Brother Ali say that was some. What happened on that one, brother?
Did you hear the level of ego and arrogance in that statement that whatever that is made, that girl made? You know, first, did you hear that? She said, and I quote, "I enjoy the chase." That's what she said, and she said it over and over. "I enjoy the chase. I like for men to chase me." Then she had the fucking nerve to turn around and in the very next breath and then wanted to set the parameters and rules for the chase. "But I don't like to be smothered. I don't like possessive men." Well, wait a minute, miss. You just said, that's just like the rabbit saying, "Well, I like for the fox to chase me, but I don't like for the fox to use his claws. I don't like the fox to growl, smile while he's chasing me." It's like, wait a minute, rabbit. You said you like to be chased. So you can't set the rules or the parameters of the chase. See, that's control. She's a control freak, and she's a problem. See, she'll never work out in a polygamy relationship. She's too opinionated. She has too many opinions. You know what I'm saying? And her opinions are very incorrect, and we just saw that. And what I just broke down verbatim, you know? Ego. Ego.
Most women who speak like that on YouTube aren't even in a polygamous relationship. They're just talking about it. I think that they've seen on TV. She just quoted TV. She did not quote any
Sister
experience
Wives.
At all.
She quoted a channel,
it's,
I think, on Sister Wives or something.
And it's people like that. What the fuck do they know about real polygamy? They learn from us, and they ain't even doing it right. They taking this shit from us. So what the fuck? She learning from a fucking TV screen? I don't even watch TV. Since I was a kid, we never were allowed to watch TV. So you have to live this shit in order to know what's really right and what really can help you succeed in life. Not from the damn TV and not from thinking that no man can tell you what to do. a polygamy relationship, any relationship that will prosper, you do not have any right over yourself when you give yourself to a man. We are a man.
No man.
We should help.
No man, and I repeat, no man should ever chase a woman. That's not natural. It's not even a sign in nature. You know, in nature, if we study, like I said, we use a lion for an example. It's the woman. It's a feminine female lion that's aggressive, especially when she's choosing her mate, especially when she's hunting. She's the aggressive one on that level. You know what I'm saying? So it's the lioness that chooses her king. So it's the woman that chases after the man. It's the woman. Anytime that a woman feels like she's already conquered him and she's got him chasing her now, well, then, hey, she doesn't have him anymore. Her desire for him is dissipated. See, the desire for her is in trying to capture him and keep him on that level. That's what keeps her going. She has to have that constantly. That's why a man has to constantly feed into that and let, you know, constantly keep her working to keep his attention, to keep him around. Keep her working. I'm not saying abuse her, but I'm saying keep her coming after you constantly. Because the moment that she flips that over and has you chasing after her, she's won, and now she's going to be looking on to the next brother.
True indeed. To be done right, you know, if it's not. Man, you can have hell. A man can have put hell on himself. That woman, boy, that water, you know, that water is not contained.
There it is.
You got you taking a shower. If that water is not contained in those pipes or whatnot, then you got hell on your hands. Flood your whole
That's
house.
Right.
Do damage to your whole entire foundation of your house. Just some flooding.
That's brilliant. That's brilliantly said, brother. Wisely spoken. You couldn't have given a better example.
You got to contain that water. Absolute. You got to contain it. That's what a man does. He's a maintainer, container, all foundation, all those things. You got to be firm. Foundation is firm. It ain't no little soft, little shaky, unsure, indefinite. And the woman, she's the one that's indefinite, so she's seeking stability. She's seeking a man that's definite, that knows what he wants, knows what direction he wants to go in. She'll need some unsure nigga. You know?
That's right.
He get up in the morning, he ain't got no purpose, no direction. That frustrates the hell out of him. He at home playing PlayStation. He should be building. He ain't got no direction, no purpose, no nothing. No stability mentally, let alone physical stability. So
That was a wonderful example you gave, brother. You have my mind rotating off your example, brother. But that was absolutely correct what you said about, like, pipes in a home, you know, containing and controlling and maintaining that water. That's correct, because you can't even have a drip from that pipe. That pipe has to be fully contained in order to maintain and let that water properly flow and serve its purpose as it should. It can't even be not even the slightest drip. You know, and that's the same example as we can use, like you said, in the dynamic between man and woman. You know, the man must be firm, you know, in who and what he is. You can't even allow the slightest drip to come in, like what you said, Supreme, because if you do, eventually it will lead to a leak, and eventually it will destroy your walls and your foundation and in your home. That's a wonderful example, brother.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay, going on that, and some interesting clips here. Okay, let's go on to this next one here. Hopefully, this person got something more intelligent than the last clip.
And one of them are not. I mean, you talk about three people, and then when you put more, there's more relationships, and it creates more of a dynamic, okay? So, just as in a monogamous relationship, you have to be able to know what your issues are, when you come to the table, and you can both evaluate whether or not this is something that can work for you. If you don't know what your issues are, then you can't make a logical decision about what's going to be in your best interest. Okay? That being said, once you know your issues and you own your issues, then, like I said, you can make a better, decision on whether or not you want to start the relationship. And also, when you're in the relationship, you can have a better understanding of everything that's at work and at play when issues come up. And you can know how to better deal with each other, and you're also able to express what your issues are so that the other people involved may have compassion for your issues. Okay? That being said,
yes, I got it from you.
Yes, I did. That's funny. And I don't mind owning my issues. So, what was I getting in here? Okay, own your issues. And then, if you know what your issues are and you're owning your issues, you're aware of your issues, and you really want your relationship to work, you work on your issues, okay? And you can work on them together, or you could go get counseling, or, you know, talk to a friend, you know, and work your shit out. You know what I'm saying? Really work your shit out, you know? When you're aware of your issues, it keeps you from being blindsided, okay? Really. Like, let's say, for instance, I have trust issues, okay? And for very good reasons that I will not tell all my business in this video, but I have trust issues, and for me, it's a big deal. If, you know, someone contradicts themselves, or if a person lies to me, once a lie has been told, it's very difficult for me to trust this person at all, because it's already difficult for me to trust. So for me, it's always an effort. I'm always giving you extra effort than anybody else is having to give you, because I'm already naturally, I have a natural, it's psychological. Once you've been through a certain number of things in your life, especially when it comes down to your family and how you were raised and brought up, if you were brought up in an environment where you were always felt unsafe and insecure in your environment, always, and you always, like that kind of thing, it's something that's difficult to overcome as you grow as an adult. Because one thing you realize as you grow older and as you have other relationships is that a lot of people can be trusted. So if the people that you should trust or should be able to trust, like your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, if they can be trusted, you know, that makes it harder for you when you engage in a relationship, a loving relationship, for you to say, okay, hey, I'm going to trust this person. You know, even though these people who, you know, pretty much were there, my foundation could not be trusted, and everybody I've met since then probably showed me that people in general cannot be trusted. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to trust someone, to go out your way to trust someone. So the point that I'm making is, when you know that about yourself, that you have trust issues, the thing that it causes me to do in a relationship is I can't rely on my mind whether or not I'm going to trust this person. Because if I rely on my mind, I'll never trust you. Like, I ain't going to trust you, period. Nobody is getting no trust from me. Like, you're just not going to be trusted. So I can't rely on my mind. You know what I'm saying? So I have to, 9 times out of 10, I have to give you the benefit of the doubt until something happens to make me not trust you. And so you getting this long leeway here because I know that if I rely on my mind, I'm not going to trust you anyway. Like, and yes, that means things are always popping up in my head. Like, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And, like, I have to be aware of myself to not speak on those things because that's going to damage my relationship. You know, I know I got trust issues. I don't have to speak up every time I think something's. It can't when you like,
I got issues, okay.
But anyway, it is something I can work on, and I'm working on it, maybe get some counseling, all kind of things to help you with that. So that being said, so what I'm trying to get at here is that when you recognize what your issues are, you can compensate for them. And also, if you communicate them to your partner can compensate for them. So for me, I know that if a brother is elusive and mysterious, as sexy as that may be, the relationship would never work. No matter how much I want a relationship to work with this man, it will never work because it'll be way too freaking stressful for me, way too stressful because I have trust issues. And if you're constantly, playing these games of, where am I? Like, hell no, bro, I can't deal with you because I'm going to have a freaking meltdown. I'm going to have a breakdown messing with you. You know what I'm saying? Because you're triggering my issues. You know what I'm saying? I don't need that in my life right now. I need some peace. I need some calm. You know, if you can't provide, a secure, stable type of relationship and environment for me, I'm going to be freaking out the entire time. And it's going to be super fucking stressful. And who wants to be stressed the entire time in a relationship? Nobody wants that. You know, a regular relationship is stressful for me because I have trust issues. But you know what? I work through those issues, and even though I feel stressed or whatever, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt because I know I have issues. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to blame you for my issues, yeah, they may come out. I may sometimes be like, yo, what's up with this? You know? And I've come to a place where I don't accuse, but I am going to ask you if I feel, I'm thinking, it's like, yo, what's going on with that? What's up with that? You know? Because my mind is thinking all this stuff. I'm not going to throw all this stuff at you, but you know what I'm saying? I'm going to try to bring myself some peace, by saying, yo, what's up with that? And like I said, if your partner know what your issues are, then they should be able to help you with that and understand, I understand this is an issue for you. And, try to relieve that as a problem in your relationship, And that's how you build, That's how you build because we all have issues. And if you're sitting here watching this video and you don't know what your issues are or you don't think you have issues, get you a piece of paper, go into meditation, because you need to start writing down what your issues are. Because you got some. You do. Think about all of your relationships. What's the recurring pattern? It's not that, I keep picking the same type of person. No. What's your issue? Seriously. What is it? Because you have them. We all have them. And collision is not a cakewalk. Not only do you have one person that you have to deal with, you have two or more that you have to build a relationship with. So you need to know what's going to be keeping you from building a solid foundation and having a peaceful, healthy, stable relationship with these individuals. So know your issues, own your issues, so that you can provide solutions for yourself in your private time before you even bring your issues in.
All right. What do you think about that, brother, on that one?
I don't know, man. It kind of almost sounds similar to the first chick, but, you know, once again, at least she's, you know, willing to admit she's got issues, and like I said, man, I've been on the planet for a little while, and I've been involved in polygamy, you know, extensively, so I've run across a lot of different type of females, man, you know, in my little travels, you know, dealing with polygamy and stuff, but, you know, I can hear it in her, man. She's the type that'll flip about, you know, the physical part of polygamy inside the home. She'll be the first one to have an issue or start problems. I can hear it in her voice when she's talking because she, like she says, she has trust issues that she hasn't even worked out, you know. You can hear in a woman's voice, man, the calmness, you know, that comes from them and the science and in what they teach when they're truly into polygamy. Women that are in polygamy are very calm individuals, man. They're some of the calmest people that you'll ever be.
Right.
Women that are, I'm telling you, they're very calm individuals.
So no insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
I see the sister on here. What do you think?
I wouldn't say no insecurities, but I would say that our insecurities should not outweigh our purpose. Like, you know, if you can my bad pain, that's not going to become what I really need to do. I'm just going to live what I have to do. Nothing should outweigh your purpose. First, I have trusted. Just trust us. We was born off of
Hey, your phone is breaking up real bad.
I said we were born off of backstabbing, so it's not going to go away. Fuck trust issues. We need to get over that. That's minor compared to what we really need to do.
Well, one thing I'll say I learned on polygamy particularly, you learn that women are some of these women out here, or women, I'll say the gender of women. Women are some of the greatest actresses ever. Actors and actresses, you must say.
Right.
Yeah, you really learn that. And you learn how to tell, like Brother Ali is sharing, how to tell who's real and who's not, you know, from the previous one. I met some Academy Award winning actors, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Some cats out here just think just a woman is just an actress in the bedroom. Shit. She could be an actress when she's wearing them heavy ass clothes. And when she's wearing, them high heel shoes, and she's like
right.
300 pounds, and she's wearing high heel shoes, and she's sitting there doing the splits and all, you never know how much pain she in. A woman could be the greatest actress ever, brother. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be able to see beyond, you know what I'm saying, the act. You have to be able to know if she's genuine or not. You know what I mean? She's honest about it, like, okay, these shoes hurt me, or... I mean, a woman shouldn't be wearing no heels any damn way like that. I mean, because what it symbolizes, you know what I'm saying, it symbolizes feminism. And it also throws her off the balance of her, you know, of her natural state, you know, of her body, you know, when you have that stuff on your heel like that. But for the point being, though, you know, I've had some of the best actresses ever. You know, I've had the I Love You and I'll Never Leave You and I've heard them all, brother, you know what I'm saying? All of them.
Me too, brother.
Me too.
Oh, man.
I've heard them all, brother, I'm telling you. I've heard some doozies, man, in my day, man, along the way, man. And I'm telling you, I've had a man sit down in front of me, cry crocodile tears, you know, one willing to take a some of them was willing to take blood oaths, you know, like to prove that, you know, I'm willing, I'm down, I want to be down. Yeah, you know, wanted, you know, to, you know, do, you know, to cut the, you know, cut your hand and, you know, share the blood and all. Man, I done met some wild ones along my way, brother. And I'm like, but all of them proved to be liars because ain't none of them here, you know, except for, you know, my, you know, my main, you know what I'm saying? Outside of that, I mean, the rest of them all fell off.
Right. Absolutely. You know, so, I mean, and there's something that's really genuine, although it's just like, you know what I'm saying, with the principles, even in the, you know, the Max, even they had some of the, you know, they had women that were, what can I say, took bullets for them, all kinds of shit, you know what I mean? I mean, a woman to sell her body for a man, you can't get no more dedication. When you get a woman that will sacrifice her body for you, you can't get no more dedication than that. You know what I'm saying?
Where is the unconditional
Where's
the unconditional love?
That's the
fault in your qualities and in your life. Were all those women that will stick around, they are like more than the other wives, but they're a co-wife. Where are the co-wives? Where are the people that is willing to accept that another woman has been there long enough to, you know, earn that title? Where are the women that are willing to accept that and grow?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, the biggest folly that we have is women jealous over other women. Most of the time when women are jealous of the other woman, it's because of the things that are lacking inside of them that they see in that other woman is gaining. So instead of us learning from that other woman the good stuff, we turn around and we become envious and jealous of it. Instead of embracing and learning, we become jealous of that. I choose you because you're so great. Can I learn from you? With another, with another, they have to share with him. They want to keep holding it down. You make him, which attracted me to this. Like, where are the people? What's the problem? It's going to accept another woman teaching them. That's a better teacher.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, a man just has to be stability. He has to be. But he ain't no man. He's not going to be stability. Right now, the illusion is the white boy is a stability. You know, that's why he wants to make sure that he makes sure that. You there, Brother Ali?
Yeah, I'm still here, brother.
Oh, okay. That, yeah, that's the whole point of him. Basically, you know, what he's created, you know, to make war man against man. And take her out of the house. No longer make the man the stability. Now make her the form of stability. You know, and if she has children, I mean, it's deep. It's deep how it's out there. I was just sharing with somebody other. You know, these songs actually are. They're ritual. You know, words. Words have power, and words are vibrational energy. And a lot of these words in the songs are, they're satanic, and they're basically satanic prayers to the negativity. You know, where they're talking about, I'll sacrifice, and I'll do this, and all this. And people who are repeating those things don't understand that they are... they're making rituals. just by the words that they think it's just a repeat of a song, although really they're putting spells on themselves. It's like we know about the spelling words, words of spells and curse words, curses. Well, you cursing something or you cussing something out, you know what I mean? You putting a curse on it because of the negative energy you have toward it. So a lot of people, what they're doing is they're casting spells on themselves. You know, I will stop eating, breathe. I was going to say, I'll stop breathing if you told me to. Now you busy loving someone else. 11 years I sacrificed. See what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Those words. These people know all those words. One of the biggest rituals that I've called spells that I've shared before many times on that guy's song there, where he said, all my love is for you. Whatever you want, I would do. You're the only one I want in my life. For you, I make that sacrifice. That's bafflement. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They think about less chill. You don't make a sacrifice or something that you just chilling with, a person you just chilling with. That's more in deep.
Right.
He said, I give Satan all my love, or I give, you know, the bastard, whatever the hell they, Lucifer, whatever the hell that shit they believe in. You know, gays and stuff they have too, you know. Luciferians and all that shit. You know, he was a light bearer. You know, it's a story. Same as Hieroglyph. Hieroglyph was he's a Santa Claus story. You know what I mean? He never even existed. So this is the guy they pattern off of that's never existed. They all want to be like Hiram when they take the oath and all that. You know, they follow in the footsteps of Hiram or Briss. And Santa Claus is more real than that. So, yeah, that's on that note. He has to be a man. And basically, you know, we're offering that. We're still men left offering that. We're saying, look, man, we don't have to work for the white boy. If we collectively do it like the Chicano and the Asians and everything, you know, we can't be the man individually, although collectively, like the collective of the Chinese man and the Mexican man, we can be the man. You know, the white boy is not the man individually. He's the man collectively. The host of other white boys, investors and corporations and all. And how they became United Snakes of America. They had to unite. Became one country, you know, different states. So, if you look at Africa, those Negroes, don't trust no damn African, man. Those niggas and niggas, they some good actors too, those niggas there. But all them niggas want to do is become Americans and be close to their American masters. They envy the blacks here because they wish they was a slave niggas, you know what I mean? And what the blacks here are to go out there. That's how ass kissing the African is. He would have been a loyal slave. You think these niggas here are slaves? These, you know, Uncle Ben Carson and all these other niggas, you know. That damn African boy, he's something else. So, yeah, that's basically the knowledge in that, man. The woman. You have to have water. I mean, the body's 3/4 water. We don't have our woman, we're ill, man. You know. You know, the white boy says his women, about his woman. He says, "What's that? that one part in The Shining where he was getting him a drink, and that whole movie was about, you know, the hatred of woman, a white boy wanting to kill his woman and child, you know, where he went in the bar and he said to the guy, he said, having a little problem with the sperm bank upstairs. And the bartender said, women, he said, can't live with them, can't live without them. But
right.
That's in essence. You remember that part?
Yeah, I remember. No, I know that quote.
Right. But that's in the essence of